This is West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Support is provided by the University of Pittsburgh Graduate School of Public and International Affairs, accepting applications for its Master of Public Policy and Management program. Classes are available online and on campus. Details at gspia.pitt.edu. Coming up next, it's West Virginia Morning. It's 7:41 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions says the key to fighting the nation's opioid epidemic is a combination of enforcement, treatment, but especially education.
We've got too much complacency about drugs, too much talking about recreational drugs. That's the same thing you used to hear in the 80s.
Sessions stop in Charleston coming up on West Virginia Morning. First, this news.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Constant Contact, committed to helping small businesses and nonprofits succeed with email marketing, working to help organizations meet their goals through personalized marketing help via phone, seminars, and webinars. More at ConstantContact.com. And from MIT Sloan School of Management, committed to bringing together MIT's intellectual resources to help managers invent the future through ideas made to matter. Learn more at sloan.mit.edu/NPR.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions highlighted the importance of prevention at a stop in Charleston yesterday before a summit on the opioid epidemic. As Ashton Mara reports, the summit was hosted by the Federal Drug Enforcement Agency.
Sessions gave the opening remarks at the West Virginia Opioid Summit at the University of Charleston Thursday morning. The summit is part of the DEA's new 360 strategy, a pilot program that has the federal organization partnering closely with state and local law enforcement to combat the nation's substance abuse epidemic. Charleston is one of six pilot cities. Sessions says President Donald Trump has directed the Department of Justice to take on the nation's opioid crisis. The first part of the administration's plan is to secure the country's borders to prevent drug trafficking. The second, to create partnerships like the 360 strategy to support local efforts. And the third is to work with medical professionals, drug companies, and others to reduce the number of opioids being prescribed. But Sessions says there is another piece that's crucial.
We can't arrest our way out of the problem. And that is true. We can't. But it is a big, critical part of it. But prevention, I truly believe, is the greatest part of our challenge, and over time, prevention will help us be most effective.
Sessions says 53,000 Americans died from an overdose last year, and more than two-thirds of those deaths were due to opioids, either prescriptions or heroin. He says while education efforts won't work overnight, they will work, preventing the nation from returning to previous trends of high drug use in young people.
We do not need to go back to that trend. We can stop it before it gets there, but we're on a bad trend right now. We've got too much complacency about drugs, too much talking about recreational drugs. That's the same thing you used to hear in the 80s.
Sessions' visit comes 2 days after the firing of FBI Director James Comey, who was leading an investigation into Russia's tampering in the 2016 presidential election and the Trump campaign's potential ties to the country. Sessions made no mention of the controversy, but Trump previously said Sessions recommended the firing. Sessions did not take questions from the media following the speech. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:46. A flash flood watch remains in effect through late this evening in the south. Cloudy skies today with a chance of rain, highs in the 50s and 60s. A chance of rain tonight with lows in the 40s and 50s. Scattered rain tomorrow with highs in the 50s and 60s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. And by the State Journal, a West Virginia news source for state government, business, energy, law, tourism, and technology. It's all in the State Journal, online at statejournal.com. High energy Christian services held outside are typically called tent revivals today. At the celebrations of faith, you'll still hear upbeat gospel hymns, the kind that inspired many American rock and roll artists. To document some of the remaining services, Roger May started a project called Glory a few years ago. The photos are from tent revivals in eastern Kentucky and southern West Virginia. May recently sat down with Inside Appalachia host Jessica Lilly to talk about the photos.
I'm familiar with, you know, Pentecostal holiness movement and grew up in a Free Will Baptist church and have seen all manner of faith practices practiced here in the mountains. But I don't know that I'd ever been to a tent revival. I'd driven by and seen them before, but don't know that I'd ever been to one. And so when I pulled up in the parking lot, they had already started singing and playing music, and I sat there for a few minutes and I watched a guy get up from under the tent and walk out and walk toward me, he introduced himself and asked me to come in and be a part of the service. And I said, well, I'm a photographer, and you know, I've always wanted to photograph a tent revival. Would it be okay if maybe I made some pictures? And he kind of patted me on the arm and said, honey, you can take pictures of anything you want to. And if anybody has a problem with it, you just tell them to come see me. And I didn't know it at the time, but he was the preacher. And so I kind of felt like, you know, if he was giving me the green light to be there, then that was okay.
So you said you're familiar with sort of a Pentecostal type religion in growing up, but you had never been to a tent revival. What have you learned about tent revivals?
I guess the takeaway for me has been just the persistence and the sheer faith of these folks, because there's nothing glorious about what they do. I mean, they're faithful servants. I mean, Brother Roger stays in a camper with his family, and there's no air conditioning. It's the summertime. And he's out for hours each evening preaching his sermon to an audience of, you know, maybe three people one night, maybe 30 people the next night. So I think there's something to be said about perseverance and being faithful to what you feel like you're called to do.
How important is it, do you think, to photograph tent revivals as far as depicting a part of Appalachia?
Well, for me, it's super important to me, because I think it's something that's slowly dying off. It's a tradition that we don't see much of. You know, I was talking not long ago with someone about foot washing, you know, and I grew up in a church that, you know, they would wash feet, you know, on a fairly regular basis. And I think about those traditions that I know are still practiced, but they're maybe not known much outside of the region. And so I think tent revivals fall into that category of something that could be celebrated and should be preserved and shown in a way that that sort of embodies the dignity and respect that it deserves.
Why do you think that they have lasted as long as they have here?
I think it's the people. People like to gather. The element of faith. People gather around faith. There's an aspect of community that I've seen in West Virginia and Kentucky that I've never seen anywhere else. You know, there's that whole saying that, you know, you never meet a stranger, you know, and that's what I think about when I pulled into that parking lot and Brother Roger got up from under the tent and came out. I mean, as soon as I pulled up, he came out to meet me. And I don't know that I've been to too many other places that I can say somebody would do that.
But I think they might do that at like a beer fest too. Like they might come and greet you at that too. Do you think there's anything unique about the tent revivals or the people here that makes tent revivals last longer?
Faith. I mean, there's pretty strong faith, element of faith, and kind of walking out what it is that you feel called to do, I think is what was, you know, happening in that situation when he got up and came to my car and invited me in. I think that level of persistence and that commitment to faith is what drew him out to do that. And that's, I've got to believe that that's an underlying theme of why he's still, you know, doing tent revivals, you know, and people like to be a part of something bigger than themselves, you know, and whatever that is, whether it's faith or whether it's sports or, you know, this Looking at Appalachia project, I think, and you know, we've had some success with that because people see that it's a community.
That was photographer Roger May talking with Inside Appalachia host Jessica Lilly about the photos he's taken of tent revivals in Central Appalachia. You can hear this week's full episode about faith, music, and Appalachian culture in the next episode of Inside Appalachia this Sunday morning at 7 and Sunday evening at 6, or subscribe to the podcast on wvpublic.org. A voice that's part Memphis, part Chicago, and all woman, Shamika Copeland returns to the mountain stage with a fiery performance. Here is Shamika Copeland with "The Battle Is Over, But the War Goes On" on this Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
Come on, y'all, put your hands together me like this. If you sing the song the way it was written, and you march along to the beat of the drum, someday soon you gonna wake up singing, "The battle is over, but the war goes on." Everybody plays, follow the leader, but what if the leader picks
you'd be a millionaire. If thoughts could heal, there'd be nobody here. So many thinking evil. It's only true love keeps this world alive. And if you sing the song the way it was written, and you march along to the beat of the
That was Shamika Copeland with The Battle Is Over, But the War Goes On. You can hear this song and more Saturday night at 8 on Mountain Stage, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, Marshall University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Glennis Board, Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Roxy Todd, and Jesse Wright. Our producer is Ashton Mara. I'm Teresa Wills.
The Del McCoury Band joins us this Sunday at 7 for Mountain Stage at the Clay Center. Along with Del, it's Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn.
What you gonna do, what you gonna do when the land goes under the water?
Also, Malcolm Holcomb and West Virginia's Black Mountain Bluegrass Boys. For tickets and information, log on to mountainstage.org.
Saturday is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. I'm Joni Deutsch, host of A Change of Tune, and this week we have a number of 80s and 90s inspired tunes from Haim, Zella Day, Overcoats, Foster the People, The Night Game, and more. Join us for a music discovery experience on A Change of Tune, Saturday night at 10 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
This is WVPB Charles.